Mormon Matters Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation and is seeking to build financial support separate from Mormon Stories Podcast. All donations to Mormon Matters are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at mormonmatters.org.
Hello, everyone out there in Mormon Matters land. This is your host, Dan Weatherspoon, welcoming you to the newest episode of the podcast. I'm really excited to have you join us, and I think you're just going to really love our discussion today. In many ways, we're going to be revisiting a subject, but again with a new social location, a new set of issues that it's important for us to hear, voices, circumstances, and things like that. We're going to be going back after three different podcasts over the last year about being single in the church. The first time we sort of dealt with it at a theoretical level and the church losing its youth and things like that. And then a couple weeks later, we had a panel with more people in that young single adult demographic. But it tended to focus, it happened to be that the people who came on that episode were in the process of sort of losing their faith. And so it didn't really speak to the young single experience in general as much as it might have. Then, months later, we had another podcast in which we had young singles adults speak about their experiences and things like this. But now we're going to move it to that demographic just beyond young single adults to what's called the mid-singles now. And for those who haven't heard this, with this reorientation of singles wards and student wards and kind of things like that, it's now no longer at all fair game for those who are over 30 to attend the Young Singles Awards. And so now there's these really big mega mid-singles awards and whatnot out there, or a lot more of them are trying to join in the life of a ward, of a family-type ward. So anyway, it's just an important thing to discuss, and really excited to do it. And I'm really grateful for Lauren Johnson, who has brought this topic to my attention and kind of is the person who put together this panel. So Lauren, can I just have you quickly introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your story and background, and just kind of kick us off. So thanks.
Great. No, thanks for having us, Dan. Yeah, Lauren Johnson. I was a developer and used to be co-host of the Cultural Hall podcast, so many might know me from that. And then I was a reporter in a past life, was in Idaho, NBC's Eastern Idaho affiliate, and got laid off, came back to Salt Lake, where I've joined with the mid-singles crew. I'm a proud member of the club. So there are so many of us, thousands and thousands of us, that I think many members in the church are unaware of. And so I did. I wrote a couple of blogs about being a mid-single and talked with Dan and thought that this would be a great opportunity to further the discussion.
Great. And tell us more about your LDS background, your family, any of that kind of stuff, just to sort of give us a little feel or a little peek.
Sure. Great. Born and raised in the church, served a mission in Cleveland, Ohio when I was 22, graduated from the University of Utah. I have six siblings and an older brother who's also still single. So I'm 32, older brother who's 34, and numerous friends, I think it's interesting to point out, that I went to high school with, including one of our guests, who are all raised in the church, are also all still single. So I think it was kind of this phenomenon that happened around our time period, where single, young LDS people remained single and didn't get married right after high school. So I think that's kind of started with us, I guess you could say.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. But you're active in the church. All systems are go if you can make a go of it. You're hoping to stay within the fold type thing.
Correct. Active in the church, love the church, and passionate about the gospel, plan to stay in the church. Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Garrett Lentz, would you introduce yourself next? We'd love to get to know you a bit.
Yeah, you bet. Garrett Lentz, I'm 32, just like Lauren. I was Pretty much born and raised in the church. I'm adopted, Korean born, but I was adopted when I was just a baby and into an LDS family. So I've been LDS effectively all my life. I served a mission in Ecuador at 19, came home and almost immediately got married. So, you know, the classic story. Married when I was 21, married for 5 years. After 3 years of marriage, had a daughter. And then got divorced, and I've been divorced for about 5.5 years now. So divorced as long as I was married. And my daughter just turned 8, and I'm facing the big waters of baptism.
Cool.
And yeah, I have been active pretty much my entire life. I think all of us were teenagers at one point, and I'm not sure that qualifies. But active now, serving in the Elders Quorum of my ward, attending a family ward, take my daughter to church every Sunday. Otherwise, I probably would be going to, I guess, a mid-singles ward. I'll be honest, I'd never thought of myself as a mid-single until Lauren kind of approached me with this idea. And I realized, oh, I'm in this other category now. But also,
yep.
Proud to be part of it, just like Lauren.
Dating at all right now or anything? Or just actively having a normal, typical dating life or with somebody?
No, not dating anyone right now. Not even going on that many dates these days. I used to be a serial monogamous. Used to lock girls down for 2-3 years at a time.
Oh, man.
For about 8 years, though, I have not been dating anybody. So it's kind of new ground for me.
Okay, cool. Great to have you. Thanks for being on. I am excited for Jenny Morrow to introduce herself. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I am also 32, which is kind of funny that we're all 32.
I know, I didn't mean to do that.
And grew up in Salt Lake, born and raised in the church, and always really grew up in a really active family and have always loved the church, and currently working as a marriage and family therapist, so I've been doing that for about going into my 6th year. I've been in private practice for about 2 years. So that takes up a lot of my focus and energy and time. And I do still date sometimes. So, and yeah, it's interesting. As Garrett was talking about being a teenager and being active in the church, and I thought I've always been really gung-ho about the church and really gung-ho about relationships and in a lot of ways still am, in certain ways, so. But yep. Nothing serious right now, so that's
okay.
Kind of where
it cool. is. Cool. We'll get to know you, and especially in the kind of the first section of the podcast that we're going to run to, I'm sure just more of your autobiographies and your kind of reorienting, you know, different dreams for yourself and things like that will emerge. But Lauren, I wanted to give you another shot. You kind of mentioned just briefly as part of your intro earlier, but I'd love to give you a bigger shot at what you're hoping for this podcast, what you hope it will accomplish, who it will reach, and if you don't mind introducing the framing that we sort of decided on as a way to, you know, area one,
yeah.
Area two, area three. That'd be great. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. Well, I really, as Dan mentioned, I wanted to bring this up because it is a very large topic right now with mid-singles. They've kicked us out of the singles wards in a sense, and I think a lot of people feel left behind, yet there's so many of us and we're all doing incredible things. And I think that really mid-singles, you know, we should be celebrated and hopefully none of us feel forgotten. I know that both Jenny and Garrett, we've all talked about feeling a little overwhelmed trying to reach everyone. And really all we can talk about are our individual stories, our individual feelings. And we probably can't touch on every mid-single out there unless, you know, we had hours.
Yeah, well, I'm still going to try to draw out generalizations or whatever, kind of what you're observing. So you're
well,
not going to be totally
yeah.
off the hook on that. So, but
okay,
great.
Okay.
Great.
Well, great. Yeah, absolutely. But what we want to really focus on is three relationships. The relationship in mid-single that we have with ourself, really, and feelings towards ourself as we get into this new stage of life, and a relationship with others, particularly, you know, in dating and the opposite sex, and in with other mid-singles in the church and others in the church in general, leaders, bishops, friends, just members of our ward, whether it's a family ward or mid-singles ward. And then our relationship with God, how we each individually feel and the general feelings out there, and how we kind of correlate and combine these three relationships. And I think that's really what we try to narrow it down to.
Good. No, and there's lots of room. There's lots of room in each of those, and it's fluid categories, but just to let our listeners know, that's the general outline. So that's wonderful. Good. How about this? Seeing how men always are concluding speakers, Garrett, can we have you kind of jump into the first and let the ladies bring us home, at least in sort of this at least initial foray into, you know, what's changed in your mind and your heart as you think about yourself, and what are you feeling about yourself, and anything that kind of comes up to you, and especially how that may have changed because of the status that you're in?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, in thinking of this topic of being a mid-single, the state of life I'm in right now, and the relationship that I have with God and with other people, I've kind of boiled it down to everything stems from my relationship with myself. And that's probably, for Jenny, who's a therapist, that's probably very basic. But for me, you know, that was kind of a revelation recently, that I can't really expect to have solid relationships with other people or with God unless, you know, I'm certain of who I am and how I feel about myself. And it's funny, I find myself at 32 now, almost completely incapable of making a decision. Whereas when I was 21, fresh off my mission, decisions seemed so easy. Obviously, I was going to go to school. I was going to find somebody to get married to. I wanted to have children, all these different things. And I'm not sure if that means that I know myself less than I used to when I was 21, or if I'm just discovering new things about myself, or maybe I know myself better and who I really am is somebody who just can't make a decision. But I think that for me, it's been a journey deciding actually what I want out of life and what I want out of a marriage or a relationship or whatever. There's kind of this internal struggle I found between, and I'm not sure how much I'm just supposed to monologue here, but...
Doing great.
I've had this internal struggle between what I actually want and what I think I'm supposed to want. And that relates a lot to, you know, growing up in the church. And the church really provides this structure for our lives, this kind of blueprint that we're all kind of expected to follow. And I had every intention of following it. Like I said, I went on a mission, came home, got married, had a child. But when I got divorced, obviously things, that was not part of the blueprint.
And right.
It changed things significantly for me. But I don't think that my experiences are necessarily that unique when it comes to mid-singles. I mean, now I'm 32. I've been re-single for over 5 years, and I think of myself as single. And yeah, I wonder sometimes now, when I do go out on dates, I find it a lot easier to write off a first date than I used to. I think I used to give people the benefit of the doubt, and now I either find issues with somebody that I'm dating, or I find an issue with myself, usually the latter actually. So kind of entered this time of, I don't know if it's a lack of self-confidence or if I've just become a little bit neurotic because of all this different experiences I've had. Yeah, it's an interesting time, and I think Jenny Morrow would tell me probably that there's no regression, there's just change, and that's how I'm trying to look at things. All this conflict in my mind or whatever, it's a time of change, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I want out of life.
Awesome. We have our built-in therapist with us here.
Yeah, and it's great, and everything that you've sound, Garrett, in, I don't know if I just... You're less certainty, and now you can't make a decision, and you don't know what's going on there. It just sounds totally healthy to me. It sounds absolutely normal. I mean, you were living a narrative that was handed to you, and now you're in that process that all of us have to go to either, you know, actively choose that same narrative, which is the case with lots of people. But a lot of times, it's how am I going to intersect with that? It sounds like you value, you know, the church's basic stuff, but you know, somewhere along the line, you're kind of coming at from the period of place of choice and of how much you want to interact with that. And so, sounds like you're doing great to me.
Well, I appreciate it. I take a walk in my shoes for a day. I don't know if you'll feel the same way. Maybe I'm just selling myself
some. Anyway, no, just, I'm podcast listeners know that I'm always Mr. James Fowler, Stages of Faith, but, it totally maps, all the developmental theory maps that there's these times in between sort of settled places, and the best way is to embrace those. So, sounds like you're doing it. I love it. Jenny, do you mind sharing your stuff? But you're also welcome to totally correct everything I just said from the therapist angle if Garrett is really asking for your thoughts on him.
So, as far as for me with relationship with self, some of the things that Garrett was saying, I was really connecting with a lot, actually. And it is interesting because looking back when I was younger and growing up in the church, we were, at least in my family, we were taught a lot about self-reliance, learning how to make your own decisions, becoming educated. And so as I moved forward with things, a lot of times it was based on my own intellectual piecing together of what I could understand about life. And so I always had the picture as well that I would graduate from high school and get married, probably about 21. That was about how old my parents were. And that even though I'd finished college, hopefully I wouldn't have to really worry that much about what I was going to do because I'd find someone who would support me and the family, and I'd be able to have kids and raise children, and everything was going to be really great and perfect.
Listening to those young women leaders.
Exactly.
Education is good if, but, a career,
exactly.
Yeah, we won't discourage you from thinking about it, but.
Exactly. And so it was really interesting. And, I think looking back, that was where my life was. It was what felt good and right at the time. Even from the beginning, though, dating has definitely always been one of the bigger challenges. It's strange. It's kind of like as I look at the categories in my life, there are certain categories that just really flow. They just have worked out, and I haven't had to think much about them. And then with certain categories, probably dating being the main category and relationships, it's been a place where, I will just try to be able to intellectualize my way through it and make sense of it and work out, do the problem solving, and it just never turns out the way I expect it or the way it's supposed to or any of that. And so that's been really interesting within the church as far as building a relationship with myself, because growing up, so much of my identity, I think, was connected to not only being a member of the church, but that within the church, my life would look a certain way. And so now being where I'm at 32, kind of like Garrett said, a few years back, I don't know, maybe it was about 3-4 years ago, and especially as I started doing therapy work and started seeing how so often our struggles and our suffering come from not really understanding ourselves. And I started to look at the patterns I'd experienced in relationships and the fear and the anxiety I had about needing to find someone, and that was the most important decision I was going to make, and this was going to be the person I'd be with forever, and different patterns around that. And I started noticing some of my own anxieties and fears, and also kind of wondering what was it I did believe and what was it I wanted out of life and out of relationships. And so I began to notice how I kind of boxed myself in with certain personality traits I believed I was, and then what it was I had always imagined for myself. And as I started to explore some of my own self over the last few years, it's just been interesting. Kind of like Garrett said, it's like, well, now I don't feel like I know who I am. But I think in a part because I think that there's so many an infinite amount of possibilities for really who any of us can be. And we really don't have to always be boxed into these personalities that we box ourselves into. But at the same time, we're dealing with our experiences and where we come from. So,
yeah. Now, I'm sensing from you, and Garrett, you correct me if I'm wrong about you, Jenny, you seem to be embracing this as, okay, yeah, I'm not so sure, but I kind of like my path. Garrett, you were like, maybe I'm really neurotic and anxious or something. Is there? Am I picking up right? Or Garrett, are you sort of also feeling like, yeah, this is a forward lean. I can see that this is important for me to do at this time.
Well, see, maybe neurotic, not the right word. Maybe schizophrenic is the right word. There are definitely times where I worry about my current state, where I feel very incomplete, maybe even backwards. And then there are other times where I do feel like my eyes are opening and that there are, like Jenny said, these infinite possibilities of who I can be. If I get to choose my own life, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing, I get to start over. You know, I mean, that's an exciting prospect in a lot of ways. So it's also daunting on some days. So
right, right.
Let's say half and half.
Okay, cool.
And so for me, it's interesting because I'm in a place right now where
This is Lauren.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, Lauren, too. Yeah, I'm Lauren. I've never been more sure of myself or stronger. I feel like the older I've gotten, the more self-assured and stronger and more confident that I've become. I'm happier. I know what I want in life. I realize what I'm capable of. I might not fit perfectly into the church's standards. Well, I don't even know if that's true because there's so many of us now.
Right.
But for me, as I've grown older, I feel like I've kind of experienced the opposite. Dating's fun for me, or at least the first few dates. The relationships are the complicated part, but dating's fun. I can go on dates all the time and be okay. I mean, I don't know where that lies, but I think a lot of women too, maybe I'm trying to represent too many people, but no, I feel like I've talked about this with Garrett. I think women in general can get more confident the older we become because we all of a sudden become self-assured in our careers and we realize and become these stronger individuals. And sometimes I don't want to talk for guys. Maybe Garrett needs to butt in now.
Well, let's butt in because I'm afraid you're going to start speaking for guys. And
yeah, and I don't want to. That's exactly what I don't want to do.
Well, no, just, I mean, from me, from my friends, from the mid-singles that I hang out with, I think I agree with what you're saying as regards the women in the church, single women. It seems to be almost backwards for men. I think, you know, we've talked about in high school, guys, I mean, we don't really even consider that we're not the greatest humans on earth. We just kind of take that for granted that, yeah, I mean, life, I deserve a lot out of life and whatever. I'm really cool. And a mission in a lot of ways only feeds that even more. Now I'm also the most spiritual person I know. So you come home and it's like, I can get married if I want to get married, and I can have what I want to have in this life. And, you know, you don't really reach 32 years of age being a mid-single without a lot of that kind of grandiose self-thought being broken down. And then you start questioning everything. So a lot of the guys my age that I talk to, you know, we wonder, what happened? You know, if my 18-year-old self could see me now, you know, I probably would have just ended it at 18. I still don't know what my career is exactly. I don't have the family I thought I would have, you know, all these different things. And so I think it is a hit to self-confidence in a lot of ways, which then plays into the whole dating thing. So now the girls our age are full of self-confidence and self-assurity, and then the guys are really kind of more watery, and I think that makes for a difficult dynamic in guys having to ask girls out and whatever else.
Fascinating. That is a wonderful section. Jenny, Lauren, what do you got to say? Are the guys watery compared to you?
I would say I see it go both ways, and I think it depends a lot on what each person's experience, but I see women who really struggle because they now feel like failures in the church. They're not a mother. They're not a wife. Why hasn't anyone wanted me? I know that I don't necessarily feel I'm in that place in this moment, but I've definitely, as I look back, you know, getting into my later 20s, there was a lot of feeling like a failure, and I'll watch women go through that and so maybe feel unconfident in that way. But also, I do think that there is a sense of just growing up and growing into our own skin. And even though we maybe feel like we don't know ourselves in some way, we kind of do. And so I think there is a confidence that comes just from, can come from growing up in general. But at the same time, I think sometimes, like Garrett said, it can go the other way. And if we've been through a lot of hits to our ego and those kinds of experiences, then we might find ourselves feeling less confident. But I think, you know, I see it going both ways. The growth of the soul really increases the confidence, and the hitting down of the ego decreases the confidence. But at the same time, both can also lead to that increase eventually, I guess. So I don't know. Yeah. I see it go both ways.
But one thing to that I want to say is, I think Jenny's exactly right, that there are people that have become more confident and people that have become less so. But I feel like the people that got married when they were 21, or our leaders, see us all feeling insecure, like we're old maids, or people's perceptions of us that we must, or there's a perception that we're either incredibly unhappy and depressed and an old maid, or we have turned our back on the church and we're partying it up and we don't want to get married. And I feel like those are two stereotypes that just aren't true. A lot of us are active, happy, doing incredible things. The desire for us is there to get married. It's in, I would say, the majority of all of our peers. And I think there's a big, like, a people, I think there's just a misconception of who we are and what we're feeling. It's like we're either completely depressed or we've gone off the deep end. I feel like if the church understood, or the leaders of the church understood who we really were, and were these self-assured individuals doing incredible things, starting nonprofits, going to graduate school, confident, loving the faith, they would maybe talk to us a little bit differently, or perceive us a little bit differently.
You've given me an oblique angle into a question that I kind of came to the discussion with, and I haven't thrown it at you guys in any of the pre-conversation, but that, is there a sense, Lauren, you just gave us the leaders and if they would see us differently, and let's now expand it to those in wards around you and family. Is there a sense in which you guys are just stunted development child? You know, are you seen as less adult than you really are by
yes.
others?
Absolutely. 100%. I've had,
run with it.
Well, I was in a singles ward and leaders were talking, and the first thing they said was, just because you don't have mission presidents in your ward, or just because you don't have general authorities in your ward, you don't need to feel bad that you're singles. And I'm looking around saying, you don't need to feel bad that you're not doing the fabulous things, you know, we're doing. Do you know who's in this room? Do you know the incredible people and the incredible things they're doing in this room, and the talent that's just sitting in this room? I don't think people realize what we're doing, and we're progressing and we're going forward. And I think there's also this idea that we're doing something wrong, and that there's reasons why we're not married, so therefore we're socially inept and we're lost causes. Mm-hmm. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. We're young, single professionals, just like the rest of the world. And people are getting married later, and so are Mormons, and that's just the fact of the matter. But it doesn't mean we're not on top of our game and doing great, amazing things.
Yeah, so just like when I was trying to draw it out of Garrett and Jenny earlier, some people are seeing this as a positive, some people are negative, and you guys were talking a little bit about maybe some ways you're looking at yourself from an angle of, what am I lacking? I'm lacking family, spouse, you know, established career in some cases, et cetera, versus what I am and all the, you know, the glass half full, here's who I am stuff. It's almost like you're saying that everyone is coming at you guys from the angle of what you're not, what you're lacking, rather than what you are.
Right. Well, and we start to think that way ourselves. For example, I know Jenny and Garrett well. You should see them in social situations. They're popular, they're smart, they're interesting, they're leaders, they're doing incredible things. And then we gather together for a lunch group and we start talking about mid-singles and how we fit into the church, and it becomes, we're lacking, something's wrong. And we start to, I feel, get this depressed feeling among each other, and they can disagree, but I started to feel that. We're really, I feel so good in my life, in every aspect of my life. But then when it starts talking, we start talking about where I fit into the church, or where that's where I start to feel like I'm lacking.
Yeah, if I could jump in, I can completely relate with that. I think, you know, I talked about feeling 50-50 about myself some days, pretty awesome, some days pretty confused. I think a lot of it just has to do with the perspective that I'm gauging myself by. For 30 plus years, I've put the church's standards on myself of what life is supposed to be. And it does get a bit depressing. I mean, it is glaring, the things that are missing in your life, if you're looking through that lens. But when I'm able to remove myself from that and just see myself for who I am, what I've been able to accomplish, and not worry about, you know, the things that I'm supposed to have, quote unquote, I am happy with myself, and I'm happy with the things that I'm learning. I'm happy in the ways that I'm growing, even though they're ways that I never really expected, you know? I feel like, yeah, like Lauren said, there's a lot to celebrate about our stage in life. By saying about being mid-single, it's like, I feel like maybe we're throwing it in married people's faces. Like, single is awesome. I see you guys walking around holding hands with frowns on your faces, whatever. not the case usually. But right. I think just, you know, our individual states in life, it's a happy place. And if I can, you know, plug one ear to what I'm supposed to be doing, I have myself, I'm pretty content with who I am and what I'm accomplishing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you guys have any friends? I mean, this group happens to be all Utah, you know, right here in the heart of Zion stuff. Any of you compare your experiences in this way of, like, what messages are coming at you? Maybe they're much more lack here in Utah versus your mid-singles friends in other places where they're probably a little bit more fitting a pretty typical demographic.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and this is where I think that we could receive more support from the church and from leaders. We did, I think, a lot of people felt really hurt when they said no more 31 and over at the singles ward, you're kicked out. Really, I don't think it was to help the young single adults. I think it was really, they didn't know what to do with us. And they're like, just get rid of them. They're lost causes. Deal with them on their own.
So was there no mid-singles wards before this? So really, that was like formed after they really had just abandoned you?
There were mid-singles wards, but nobody wanted to go to them because they felt, this was the perception, that it was where people that were socially inept went, and it was awkward. But now that we're all going, we realize we're not, but we're also sitting all the way back beyond the stage in the cultural hall. Like, there's so many of us, they can't even...
Wow.
They can't even fit us all. There's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was 1,000 people sitting in one of the mini wards just around a few miles of my home on a Sunday. There are so many of us, and they treat us a little bit like, we got to figure our stuff out. We're this minority, and they tried, and they've given up on us, and we need to figure it out. Whereas before jumping on this podcast, my older brother, who's 34, single, never been married, I said, anything you want to say about anything? And he said, yes. He said, why can't they just make us feel accepted where we feel comfortable? Or why can't they make a ward where it's 25 to 35? And that's what they do in larger cities like New York City and San Francisco. I think that the young single professionals are much more accepted there. But they somehow haven't done that for us here, given us a place here, or said, yeah, it's normal now, and it's okay what you're doing. And it's still more of a just kind of herding us into a place and hoping we all figure it out, this marriage thing.
Jenny, you haven't heard you for a minute or two. What's been on your brain?
Let's see. A lot of different things have been going through my head. You know, as far as the wards go, and I don't know what's most helpful. I mean, there's a couple questions. You asked a little bit about singles outside of Utah as well.
Right,
maybe
right.
I'll go that way.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of friends out of state right now. And actually, the ones that I do that are single still are experiencing a fair amount of angst in regards to their relationship with the church, to being single. Although they were raised in Utah. So I do think that there is a difference for those, I think, that were raised outside of Utah Mormon culture to some extent. But I don't know if they came here, went to BYU, and that's, you know, they've kind of picked up the picture. I think it kind of depends on how much that was identified with growing up. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of information about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm the only one, Garrett, I know, goes to a family ward because He's in a family. You have a family.
Yes. Correct.
Which is something they talked about in conference as well, that they made note. It was lovely that single parents need to not feel left out, and they're doing an incredible job. And I think it was Elder Baxter who talked about single parents. But when it came to singles in the church, it was get married, which I find kind of funny, and I think we can all definitely get into this. I don't know very many of my peers who don't want to get married or have the desire or to have a long-lasting relationship. I think that's a given. We all want that. So why are they telling us to get married? It makes us feel so – that just feeds fear and angst rather than faith and love and support. We want that, but we're all going in many different directions, and the average way to get there is – well, there isn't an average way to get there now. I guess that's where they're having a hard time with it. Once you get older, there is no average – way to get anywhere. We're all very unique at this point, but we all want it. And so this getting married thing, is it really helping? I mean, maybe it's helping that man and woman that's been in the relationship for 3 years and this woman's grateful that the guy has finally been told to just propose to her. But other than that, who's it really helping? It's like telling someone that's infertile to have a baby, you know,
right.
How is that helping us?
Awesome. Good insight. So. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Garrett and Jenny and I have talked about this, so I'm sure that yo, guys.
Okay. Well, let me just say something here. We're kind of flowing into, you know, others and church and things like that. If you had anything left that sort of just we would say, you know, what you're learning about yourself and what's transforming inside of you because of your social location and this marginal status that you sort of have within, you know, the typical church narratives for how life should go. If there's anything there left, let's pick that up now. But then let's do get into church and relationship with others and celibacy versus the different kinds of stuff that, you know, at that age group, those things are really hitting you. Man, I may never have sex or, you know, or I've had sex before and I just can't see any reason to not continue, you know, those kinds of things. But I wanted you to, is there anything left on your, you know, notes that you brought that you wanted to share more about what you're learning yourselves?
I'm good. For me.
Yeah, I think I'm good too. I mean, it all kind of ties together, so.
Yeah, that's absolutely fluid for sure.
Yeah, so no, I think I'm good.
Okay, well then, can I drive you guys into what are these wards like? Are you having 1,000 people come to these here in the Valley because they're looking to date, or are you? Is it the gospel or is it the socializing? And then what's the type of socializing that is going on?
Sorry, really quickly though, and I don't know if you're going to edit it, so if it doesn't flow, don't worry about it. But with the comment, Gary doesn't go to a singles ward, but I know that he might have things to say about what I just mentioned about feeling the pressure to get married, but we can do that later too.
It's funny, so I don't go to a singles ward, but I do have – just about all of my single friends do go to a mid-singles ward. So I can say what people say about this single ward.
Okay,
because,
cool.
Lauren, earlier you were saying, you know, there used to be this stigma, like, don't go to the mid-singles ward. It's where all the socially inept people are, all the 45-year-olds that, you know, couldn't get themselves married, whatever. but it's not really that way. But, I mean, to be completely honest – the people I talk to that do go to the wards, they still talk about it like that. Like, you know, I try to go, but I end up sitting next to two 45-year-old guys and one guy on oxygen. And, you know, and they're asking me how many cats I own and whatever else. Like, I think there's still, even for people who are going, and, you know, I'm talking out of school here, because like I said, I don't go to one of these singles wards. But from what I hear, there still is that feeling of it's not necessarily the place you want to be hanging out for the rest of your life.
Well, for me, for example, my records are in my home ward because that's where I want to be. But then I feel like I need a social outlet and I'd like to meet people and want to see my friends. And at this age, when you have a full-time career, you don't have as much opportunity to be social. And so then I'll go to the singles ward some Sundays, mid-singles ward. And my home ward knows. They're like, oh, yeah, we get what you're doing. You know, just come here. And other weeks, I'll explain. I'm very active, but sometimes I go to the mid-singles ward and sometimes I go to my home ward. But yeah, I guess I do feel out. I don't want to commit to a mid-singles ward as far as putting my records in it goes. I want to go to enjoy what I want to enjoy about it, which are my friends, but I don't know if I would feel at home there.
Yeah, and I found about, I don't know, it was a few years back, but I started feeling like I was isolating myself from a lot of people I could be friends with, you know, because now more and more, most of my friends are married, and I still feel very connected to a lot of my married friends. And so I thought, you know, I don't want to be separating myself from these people that I am, you know, at their age. I am at their stage of life. I'm not married like they are, but, you know, we're working, we're out of our 20s. And so when they did the switch and asked those that were 31 to either go to a home ward or go to the mid-singles, I decided to try out both. And I thought, you know, it's probably a good time to go to a home ward and reconnect in with all the ages. And so I did. Granted, I did not give it a fair shot. I will be honest. I only went once, but it was enough that I didn't want to go back. The feeling of aloneness there. And again, I'm guessing if I were to go and go frequently, I would connect with people because that's usually how I experience things in life when we do that. But I just found myself feeling no desire. And there weren't a lot of young people in the ward, even, you know, that were married and around my age. I think it was just the demographic of where I live. And so I went back to the mid-singles ward, and kind of like Lauren said, I mean, it was, I am surprised at how many people there are in these wards. I mean, the mid-singles ward I have been going to has 3 relief societies, and yeah, the cultural hall is full every week for sacrament meeting. And so I've just been surprised that they haven't, it's been almost a year now, and I'm pretty surprised that they haven't done anything to shift that. But I'm sure there's lots that they're all trying to work out, the leaders.
Or is the bishop getting up there, okay, everybody stand up and meet 5 people for the next 5 minutes that you haven't met? I mean, is it church? It's just normal church.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, yeah, but you won't, I'll find, you know, I won't see, I'll meet someone and then I won't see them again. I mean, there's that many people that,
right.
That you won't see people again, unless you know them well enough that you recognize them or see friends. But it's just, it's kind of just kind of a chaotic experience, really.
It is.
It doesn't feel very spiritual to me. It doesn't, you know, I can go into my own meditation, but it's a lot of, there's a lot of chaos there on Sundays.
And each ward has its own feel. I've been to all of them. And there's the ward where I go to and I feel depressed and I'm thinking, oh, these people are sad that they're single. And then you go to another ward and it's, you know, just everybody's, I don't even know how to explain it, fabulous and, you know, materialistic or more so. And then there's kind of, you know, the ward that maybe Goldilocks would like or what I would like, you know, right in the middle. And I feel like every ward has this different feeling, probably because we are a lot of ward hoppers. There's a lot of us that don't have our records in the ward, so we'll go to wherever our friends are. So there becomes these feelings in the ward. There's also bishops who are more accepting to allow us to come to the ward than others. There's one ward where he said you can only join or put your records into the ward if you've attended 4 Sundays in a row and you have a temple recommend or are working towards a temple recommend. And then you have another bishop in the neighboring ward saying, I don't believe like that bishop, come one, come all, you know. So that kind of creates a feel in the ward as well. So it is a very overwhelming and chaotic experience. And I would say that every ward has this different feel. And a lot of it is not, this is where you go because this is you, these are your boundaries. It's more of, I feel comfortable here. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that should be okay. Right now, maybe they should allow us to go where we feel comfortable. But I also feel like they could maybe organize some wards for us where we would feel comfortable going within our community. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a possibility.
If I could, I'd like to just bring up real briefly kind of something about singles wards in general. Because, I mean, just not even just with the mid-singles wards, but that plays into it. But I'm wondering why the church is structured around relationship status to begin with. Why are, and Lauren, you and I have, we've all talked about this before, why are there necessarily wards for married people, wards for young single people, wards for mid-single people, which is like a completely made-up term, you know? Like, you kind of get the feeling we're supposed to be going to church to learn about Christ, to grow closer to God. So why do we have to be separated in groups to be able to do that? And is that effective? Lauren and Jenny, you already know that I'm of the opinion that I would love to see just family wards. And I would love to see lots of singles activities so you could meet other single people, do stuff with them. But church itself would be about God rather than, because once you go to a singles ward, automatically that's like the prominent part of church is that you're single and you're trying to no longer be single or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just don't quite understand why church is organized in that way.
Yeah, and we have discussed this, and I agree with Garrett. I guess you could say that my opinion has changed, and now that I'm back in Salt Lake, I've moved in with my parents. I don't know if I feel comfortable going to my home ward all the time. I would like to be able to be social. And I feel like where I find a lot of support and where I feel the most connected and the most normal is among my peers, because we are, the rest of the church thinks that we're unique, but when we get together, we feel far from being the minority. And so I feel like there does need to be, my personal opinion is there needs to be both options. People need to be able to feel comfortable going to their family ward. But for those that might feel uncomfortable at family wards, and there are many I've spoken with, I think we just still need the option of a mid-singles ward.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting as you say that, you know, that there might be singles who feel uncomfortable going to the home ward. In a way, to me, that does say something about the focus of church. And, you know, if one of the main focuses of our faith is you need to be married to really feel fulfilled and really be happy, or to meet your duty or any of those things, then yeah, going to a home ward can feel pretty uncomfortable, because there's a sense that people may think I should be somewhere else, or, you know, why aren't you getting married, or they're trying to set you up, or they're asking, wow, you're really beautiful, why aren't you married yet? I mean, whatever kinds of questions come or interactions come through a family ward, because again, in the faith, there's so much emphasis on the marriage and the family, and that this is what a true spiritual path would look like. Right. And so it is interesting, because, you know, for me, one of the things that I've felt is, if church is at its core about my spirituality and coming to God in Christ, what does that have to do with marriage? Marriage is a path and an experience and a way to experience God in Christ, but so are so many other kinds of paths. And so it is interesting to me that they divide the wards up. It does seem to kind of add to that focus, which I think is awesome. Interesting, and lead to people feeling uncomfortable going to home wards, which is also interesting.
I think you nailed it. I think that when I go to a family ward, I people feel sorry for me. I'm misplaced. I don't want people to feel sorry for me on Sunday. I just want to go to church. And so oddly, even though everyone's going to church just to learn about Christ, for me, sometimes it's easier and just to feel comfortable with a whole bunch of mid-singles so I don't have to worry about what everyone's thinking.
Cool. Let me throw a complication. You can tell me how much element of truth. I've heard from enough people that I know there's some element of truth in this. You guys have been emphasizing you not feeling comfortable. What about your presence in family wards that makes some of those members uncomfortable? Because everything from the threat to well, my husband's going to see this beautiful 32-year-old, unattached, you know, less responsibility, you know, I'm, you know, kind of thing. You know, there's going to be the more sense of maybe I did choose wrong, and I can go to this less burdened life, or vice versa. You know, women with a man who seems like he's more upwardly mobile, or you know, is having a more exciting life and traveling and things like that. And what about there's that threat to relationships, plus again, just you're the contrast to their life, which is maybe one that was chosen for them by this inherited path that everyone kind of thought, and they followed it, but they're feeling less comfortable in that path because it really wasn't that authentic choice. And you guys have made the authentic choice, or at least you're in that position to still have that question be up in the air, and it threatens them that way. So there's, I'm just kind of wanting to go at it from the other side.
Yeah, and I do think that would make sense, that as much as we as singles might feel uncomfortable, that there would be certain experiences that those that are married would feel. And I even think about my mom, my sweet mom, who I'm the oldest of four children, and the youngest is 22 and just got engaged, and all three of my siblings will now be married. And so my mom, you know, in trying to understand me and where I am, she's read books, and she probably tries to get more information from me than I'll give her. But, you know, I think that she's really put a lot of effort into trying to understand where I'm at in my life, because she just had no really framework or picture of right. Someone who's single and successful and older. And so I think that there are a lot of people who probably just haven't really processed it because it's not their life experience. And so they haven't needed to. And so, yeah, they might have different feelings or threats, or maybe just not know what to say or how to respond in a way that makes us feel comfortable, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that was well said. I think you make a good point yourself, Dan, that it's not just us feeling uncomfortable. Members can feel uncomfortable too. I was in this ward in Chubbuck, Idaho for 2 years, a family ward, and it was a wonderful experience. And they were great, but I definitely know that I stood out. I mean, the average age for getting married drops dramatically when you hit Eastern Idaho. So it was more extreme than being in Salt Lake. You know, I really was very unique. And I think I got more attention, and they took care of me because I think they thought, what do we do with her? You know, mm-hmm, what in the world? What in the world do we do with this girl who has a career and is single and seems fairly normal? And I feel like I actually got a little bit more attention from people wanting to make sure that I fit in and that they were doing the right things and made me feel comfortable. But I know that I stood out.
And was any of the attention like sort of a flirty sexual sort of stuff too? Any of that vibe?
I got that vibe. I hate to admit it or get mm-hmm, a little embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that by a few people. And I think that I felt it too. I didn't want to overstep my bounds and be too friendly either. I think right. I'm much more friendly because now I'm used to going to church at a mid-singles ward, right, where being flirty and friendly is the norm. That's what you do. You're fulfilling your calling when you're flirting.
Great line.
So, yeah, I feel like I was a lot more subdued at church. I feel like it was a very good experience for me because I focused on my spirituality rather than being social. I made many amazing friends, women who most often got married in their early 20s. And I know that I think men and women both were fascinated by me because it was just something they'd never seen before or something that's just so unusual. But yeah, I changed my personality a little bit. I tried to be a lot more respectful and more appropriate and I guess you could say professional is the way to put it. And yeah, I did sense some of that. So not only did I feel different, but I think that they felt that it might have been uncomfortable for some of them as well. They didn't know how to act. Everyone was kind. My experience was great, but I know that there have been experiences out there that haven't been as positive as that one has been.
And all this, Garrett, you made the great point of shouldn't church be about God, Christ, relationship and stuff? So I didn't want any of this like, oh, well, let's explain it, you know, on these dynamics level to override your point that it's still very worth asking the kinds of questions you were.
So
Yeah.
I didn't want you to feel like I was taking us away from that, sitting in our hearts a bit. Good.
Thank you for joining us today on Mormon Matters Podcast. To discuss this podcast with others, please check us out at mormonmatters.org. To keep this podcast alive, or to join our support community, please consider a tax-deductible donation today at mormonmatters.org. Music for this podcast was brought to you by Brittany and Clayton Pixton. The Mormon Matters logo was generously provided by StudioCase.com. Thank you for listening.